Please stand for the reading of our gospel today as you're able. Our gospel today comes from the book of Luke, chapter 21, and it's verses 25 to 36. You can find it in your chair Bibles. It's on page 74 of the New Testament. In this reading, our first Sunday of Advent, we are reading an apocalyptic text. This is something that Jesus says to his disciples, and these are words of promise that God will once again come and break into this world and redeem God's people. There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things take place, stand up, raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Then he told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all of the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that day does not catch you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you might have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man. This is the word of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. Thanks be to God. You can be seated. Grace and peace to you all today from God our Father and from our Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. Already last summer, my husband Fran started to anticipate a trip to an amusement park convention. Now, this is an event that happens annually, and as a manager of a water park, Fran has gone several times with different members of his staff to check out the latest and greatest in this field. And they see and learn everything about what you would see in a water park or an amusement park. Rides and games and food and prizes and even the mechanical stuff that goes all into it and marketing, just the whole nine yards. And this is a huge event, as you can imagine. So this year, the event was going to be held in sunny Orlando, Florida. And to my surprise, my sweet husband came home one day late in October and announced to me that his whole staff was going to go this year and spouses got to go with. And isn't that great? Orlando, awesome! That'll be so fun. That's the reaction my husband was hoping to get from me. But unfortunately, for myself, I anticipated the worst. So like me. What about my work? What will I do? What about school? I have classes, Fran. What am I going to do about all of that? And Fran, so gracious, said to me, Laura, you know what? If it doesn't work out, we can refund the ticket. It's okay. Well, of course it worked out. I got a few days off work, and I worked very hard to get schoolwork done ahead of time before we left. And we did go, but before we went, I kept asking Fran, well, like, what are we gonna do down there? Will I get to see a mouse? Will I get to see a wizard? I'm picturing our family trips where we're having fun and we're doing all these things. I didn't know what a water park convention would entail. And so he kept saying to me, we're gonna have fun, don't worry about it. But I kept thinking, yeah, I'm gonna have fun down there like you'd have fun at a weekend seminary. So that's what I was thinking. I had a bad attitude. And then finally, precisely a week before we left, once again, I open my big mouth and I say to friend, what are we going to do down there? What are we going to do? Now this man comes over to me. God love him. He comes over, puts his hands on my shoulders and says, Laura, what's happening next week is that you are accompanying your husband on his business trip. You are not in charge of this one. Okay, well, I needed to hear that. I needed an attitude adjustment is what I needed. And so now I get to go to Orlando, and I will have free time to read a book and enjoy being by the pool. I have nothing to worry about, nothing at all. I don't need to plan anything. I'm simply along for the ride to enjoy this time with my husband. So we did go on this trip, and it was very lovely. The weather was beautiful. It was relaxing. We had a lot of fun. I did not see a wizard or a mouse. I'm just going to tell you that. But it still was really fun. So then early on Friday morning, this is just a week and a couple days ago, we flew from Orlando to Chicago. We arrived at that airport and found out even before we got off the plane that our connecting flight to Sioux Falls had been canceled. So immediately we went to the ticket agent when we got off the plane to try to get on a different flight then to get back home. Now, the next two flights were booked up, of course, and so they couldn't get our big group of seven people onto another flight, or any of us. Actually, we were on standby for two flights, and then we got to the third one at 10 p.m. that night, and that's the one we were booked on. So we were at the airport for more than 10 hours when we finally got to go onto the plane 10 o'clock Friday night. Now, this storm that had hit Sioux Falls had made its way right over Chicago. So now we're watching all this snow, and we're still hopeful. We're anticipating that we might still possibly get home. We boarded the plane. Woohoo! We're on our way. We're going to do it. We sat in that plane for 2.5 hours. And then the pilot came on and announced, I'm sorry, folks, this flight has been canceled. The crew had apparently timed out. We were going to be their last flight of the night, and so we all had to get up. Now it's after midnight, and now there's a bunch of angry, tired people. And there's not many people working at the airport in Chicago at that time. So there's a huge line, one ticket agent. I stood in this chaos, and I closed my eyes, and I prayed, God, just get us home as quick as we can. Get us there safe. I opened up my eyes. There's one woman in our group who's on the phone with United. We knew it would take forever to get to the line to the one agent there. She got all of our tickets refunded. Another woman in our group was on the phone with a car rental place and got us an SUV secured. We were going to drive. So now here we are, 2 o'clock in the morning, getting into an SUV with seven people and all of our junk, and we're driving home. It took over 12 hours to get here, driving out of the storm into Chicago, into the remnants of the storm here. So, there we are, back home, finally. God carried us safely here, just as I had anticipated God would. Our season of Advent brings about hopeful anticipation, just like my husband had, that he was hopeful we would have a great time on this trip, and we did. And I had anticipation that we would get home safely, and we did. Those of you who grew up in the church have likely heard that word Advent, and you may have wondered even, what does that mean? What does Advent mean anyway? Well, Advent means simply coming or arrival. It marks the beginning of our church year, as Pastor Jeff said, and it stands in stark contrast to the very commercial world of Christmas out there, outside of the walls of these church, where the malls have displays up since Halloween, and where many have possibly decorated and purchased all the perfect gifts, and where there's anticipation of happy social events. Advent, these weeks before Christmas, instead mark a time of anticipation, of hope, of patience, of obedience. It marks a time of waiting for the arrival not only of baby Jesus, our Savior, born in the manger on Christmas Day, but also waiting in the hope of the promise that Jesus, our Redeemer, will come again. Those of us who are in Christ are living in between. We are aware that Jesus came, and we are waiting once again for Jesus to come. And in the meantime, we're living in the midst of an eventful, unpredictable, tumultuous, and wonderful world. We're waiting to stand before Jesus, and yet we're not always knowing where God is and what God is up to and when God will come. We are not in charge. Our gospel text today from Luke starts off the Advent season with what might seem odd or out of place in this season of anticipation. We like to hear happy stories this time of year about shepherds and wise men and, of course, a precious baby Jesus. And we wonder, what does this grown-up, stern-talking Jesus have to do with that? Can't we just get on with Christmas already? Not yet. As difficult as it is to hear and to understand this apocalyptical picture, it tells us important things about God. Jesus speaks of a time of frightening things, some very bold things indeed, but within these words there is treasure. That treasure that helps us focus on what the true meaning of Advent is. And it's tucked right into verse 28. Now when these things begin to take place, stand up. Raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. A redemption here is more than simply forgiveness of sin and deliverance from it, but instead it describes a liberation, completely being away from this fallen world and all the corruption that is here. Those who are in Christ need not fear this at all. They need not fear when there's a storm swirling around them. God is near. God is in charge. God will come out on top. We don't know when Jesus will come again, yet in this text, Jesus challenges us, as he challenged the original hearers, to look up, to pay attention, to be ready. The season of Advent involves our preparing then for two comings, for God coming to earth as a precious infant in a manger, and for Christ returning to earth at a time that we don't know, that we aren't in charge of. In this text, Jesus is encouraging us, as he encouraged the original hearers of the word, to be ready. And he tells us what to do while we're waiting. Be alert. Be prepared. Don't be worried about this life. Put your hope in our loving God, who came to us in Jesus Christ and who promises to come again, and to pray. Luke's text paints a picture for us that doesn't need to be interpreted as frightening or condemning. We read no words of condemnation today. Luke offers in Jesus' words both hope and expectation. God in Jesus Christ is coming because God loves us and because God wants to redeem us. In the midst of the chaos of this world, we can stand up and raise our heads because our redemption is indeed drawing near. We too, like the first hearers of these words, can find hope for a better world that can break forth at any time, unbeknownst to us. And certainly, it will be a dramatic event, because when is God breaking into this world not a dramatic event? Right now, there's famine, there's disease, war, terrorism. There are people who struggle every day with just the daily challenges of life, of addiction, with pain, with mental illness, hunger. Christ has called us to keep alert and be praying constantly for God's kingdom to come, to break into our hurting world and broken world. We need Christ to come, and we are wise to heed Jesus' words and take time this Advent to prepare for it. The good news today is not simply Christ is coming, but it is that Christ's coming means that we have hope. Despite our hurting and messed up world, communities, lives, just as the leaves on the fig tree offer hope in late winter that summer is going to come again, so God's word in Jesus promises new life. Advent offers us expectation and hope for something new. Stand up, raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. My brothers and sisters in Christ, I encourage you to look beyond what you see in these church walls. Look beyond the Christmas galore that's out there right now. And I admit to you, I love it just as much as everyone else, if not even more, some of you probably. But commit to use these weeks of Advent to anticipate and prepare for God's kingdom coming and breaking forth anew. Don't be weighed down with the worries of this world, but prepare with prayer and with hope in Christ. Anticipate and prepare for Christmas, for the radical, earth-shattering time that the Prince of Peace came in the precious baby Jesus, born in Bethlehem so long ago. And also prepare your heart in hope for the risen Lord who promises to be with us always and who will come again. Amen.